Hello and welcome to the British Soap Awards 2025 with me, Ree, and him, Rob.
Hello, greetings EastEnders fans. So I am currently at Grantham Station waiting for my train to London King's Cross. Ree should be on the train behind me. So all being well, we should be arriving into London on time. We're going to the Soap Awards.
And fortunately, my train was completely on time and I was soon zooming through the countryside towards that London.
I see a Ree.
I mean, just come through the gap, Ree. There's a gap there. Just walk through that, Ree. Less of following the rules.
What are you saying? All right, mate.
Greetings, EastEnders fans. We're together. This is so exciting.
It's been so long.
I know. How was your trip?
All right, yeah, go on then,
back it up. I got to be upgraded to first class because there were some piss heads in my seat.
This guy.
Frankly, I think it suited me.
Yeah, well, you know what? If the cap fits, which clearly it does for Rob.
Clearly it does.
Unlike this peasant from Sheffield,
that's
who had to sit next to somebody.
You know what it was? It was my smug face. They realised that I needed upgrading.
Like, oh, who's he? Yeah. Oh, snail.
He looks
first
smug.
Class.
First class. Right, so we are just waiting for an Uber to take us to the accommodation.
You're very confident doing this,
sit middle.
Oh, I don't care. I think I need to...
Yeah,
we need to get more
in London fashion. But we're going to get a drink, we're going to get to the accommodation, we're going to get changed into our sexy outfits.
What do you mean? Wearing one?
That's it, yeah, she looks fit. And then we'll have a drink and then we'll be on our way to the Soap Awards!
So, Albert Square After Dark on location. We are in London.
We are, this is exciting, isn't it?
So we are just on our way to the accommodation now, and then we'll be getting changed. Ree, how are you feeling?
Right up. It's really hot down south.
We've only
got a couple hours on the train. It's like a different country.
I know, it was really cold when we got on the train, but here we are. We are so excited.
Okay, so we're at the accommodation.
Looks all right. Looks
all right. Wait till you get inside, mate. I sorted this part, by the way. Oh, in fact, I shouldn't be taking credit.
It's
just
really
good.
Okay, so it's rubbish.
But rubbish it was not. Fair play, Ree. You didn't do bad here. And once I'd climbed into this, quite frankly, ridiculous shower, it was time for the outfits. Try and control yourself, folks.
I am.
Look
so
at
excited.
Us.
Yeah?
We are like proper.
Oh no, we did look quite glam when we graduated, actually.
Barely. Not as glam as this, though.
No, this
is
actually...
This is glam for us.
There is glam.
Yeah,
okay.
This is adult glam.
Adult glam, grown up glam. What do you think?
What do you think? Let us know in the comment section below. But be kind, yeah? Be kind.
So...
You look stunning, by the way.
Oh,
really, really nice.
So do you, Rob. Look at Rob's suit. Hugo Boss.
Half price, mate.
Influencers here. Hashtag sponsors. Anyway... Are you excited to go to the town hall?
I'm so excited. We might meet people.
We are going to meet people.
Might meet people.
So, hi, this is us at the back of our Ubers on the way to the Soap Awards. Who do we think we are right now, Ree? Honest to God.
Podcasters,
that's who we think we are.
Seriously, by the way. Look, we've got little mics.
We have got little mics. Look at this, how professional are we? They even need to, it's a clip-on mic. This is what the TV stars do. So professional. Right, so where are we on our way to now?
We're on our way to Hackney Town Hall.
Hackney Town Hall.
Which is where everybody enters first.
Yes.
And everybody has the pictures.
We are.
And you can meet them, which we're hoping is going to happen.
Yeah, we're really late.
I was going to say...
We might have stopped at the hotel bar for
a had a drink.
We like to drink with Ree, because Ree is our mate. And when we drink with Ree, she drinks it down in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
I can't do that.
You have lost it, mate. Honest to God. This woman used to be able to do 5 pints in 8 seconds before.
And then right. Gone, oh, yeah, we should probably
go.
Really,
probably
yeah.
go. So that's why we're now in the back
that's
of an Uber.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. So we're now in the back of an Uber. We're off to the Hackney Town Hall, yep. Where we hope to meet people. And then after that, it's the actual event.
And this modest setting was about to be packed with soap stars.
So we are in Pizza Express across the road from the theatre. The theatre is literally just over there through the window. We'll be going across there when we finish this, but we need something to eat. So we've seen famous people, really. We've actually seen, we weren't quite close enough to actually get to meet anybody, sadly.
I mean, we could have if we'd just
if we'd pushed our way through, like some people did. We have seen some stunning people. They look incredible. Seeing people from the telly is the weirdest thing in the world.
Look, it's
so weird. Like, how long must it have taken them to get ready?
A long time.
Like, so long, I imagine. So long. But they look stunning. We saw loads of people from EastEnders. We saw people from Coronation Street. Actual people. I saw Jack P. Shepherd.
I know.
He's just one celebrity big brother. Yeah. Mad. Absolutely mad. So, in about 5 or 10 minutes, we're going to go and across to the Empire Theatre. And we're going to actually watch the soap wars. And then we're going to see Jane McDonald in real life as well.
We're so excited. And we're going to see him for next
time. Yeah, our day is far from over, people.
Totally not allowed video.
Not allowed to record.
But, oh my God, it's the soap wars.
Team EastEnders! And what a night EastEnders had. 8 awards, including Best Soap.
It's EastEnders.
So, we are back. What a night.
Wow.
That's long.
It's late.
That's
it's
late.
It's midnight. Oh my gosh, my makeup's so much. I'm not surprised.
Ties all skew with. I mean, that is a long night. It started at, it said on the tickets it started at 7:30. It didn't. It started at about 8:30, close to. Quarter past eight, and then went on till about 11:30. It's just a telly thing, you know, like pickups and, you know, all that kind of thing.
About 3 hours, wasn't it?
Good 3 hours. About 3.5 hours,
I would say.
No, we weren't allowed out, were we? But it was good fun.
It was good fun.
And I'll tell you why it was good fun, because EastEnders won like 8 awards.
We won.
Because we won. And we won the big one as well. The only one that slipped through the net was Laura Doddington not getting Best Newcomer, which really sucks. But
Hollyoaks
deserved that win as well.
Well, Laura did as well, but
Laura definitely deserved it. And I hope it was close.
Was it Isabella?
Isabella, I can't remember her name, but she is great, to be fair.
Yeah, so we've seen close to her.
Yeah, so she did deserve that, to be fair. But it's just a shame that that was kind of the only one, really, that EastEnders didn't win.
Yeah, I think it was.
Young Award. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Everyday one.
Sonny didn't grab that, which is a shame. But to see actual people, this is the crazy thing. Like, so before we started, we were outside sort of the Hackney...
The town hall
where the soap stars kind of all spend their night. And to see these people actually in the flesh is the weirdest thing in the world.
It's very surreal.
It's so weird. Like, they actually exist.
We could have pushed to the front very easily.
We could have pushed to the front, but at the same time... And to be fair, I'm the sort of person that likes to go to a zoo and sort of look at an animal through the glass. I don't need to climb into the pen and sort of like pull at it and do all that kind of thing.
Not any of the cast animals.
Some of them are around.
But, you know, but some of them, they look phenomenal, by the way, which you will see. I mean, I say that we're not supposed to release anything until the show actually goes on air 5 days after they've recorded it. However, the BBC have released all the results.
Defenders themselves.
Yeah, so, and the BBC has no kind of jurisdiction to sort of keep that quiet. It's not their channel, they could care less.
We surprisingly didn't get asked either on our way in, which
I thought
we
would.
I thought there were signs up saying, please don't leak it.
Yeah, there was like a producer all the way through the night. Yeah. Like kind of running the show.
Yeah,
He had said something like "keep your gob shut" and turn those out, but he didn't bother. So
they won the best for the flashback episode.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. Jamie Benson made a really, really long speech.
What was Patsy Palmer's speech about?
We don't know if Patsy Palmer's speech is going to get aired.
Not all
or not.
Of it. I'm confident that not all of her speech is going to get aired, and we're not going to say.
She talked about vaginas a lot.
Well, she did.
She did. She talked about vaginas a lot. I don't know if it'll all get aired.
Somewhat relevant, considering
kind of
the like nunny line.
It started relevant, then just sort of went
spiraled.
Hey, you know, that's where she was, what she went through. I don't think she expected to win. I think that was the thing.
Yeah, she did say.
So
that
she had no idea what to say whatsoever.
I think I was like, oh, she's going to stop, and then she just started talking about vaginas.
Yeah, and started talking a lot about vaginas. Yeah. But overall, do you know what I mean? I think I had a really, really fun night.
Really
I was so pleased we came. We had a great time.
What a whirlwind it's been.
Yeah, it's been mad. I mean, I don't know how we'd be feeling if EastEnders had a bad night.
I presume, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it would have been a long day for not a lot, wouldn't it? Yeah. But the cast looked thrilled, and they deserve to be. And Chris Clenshaw looked thrilled to see him. Yeah. Like, he looked really, really happy, and I'm pleased for him as well. Because of all the work they've done on the show this year, the 40th, they deserve.
I think everyone who won something pretty much thanked Chris Clenshaw.
Yeah,
as well,
they did. He's really popular. Yeah. He's really popular. What was interesting was Adam Woodjatt, when they were literally turned to Ben Wadey and saying, good luck following that, which I'm sure doesn't fit in with any sort of pressure whatsoever. Yeah. But what a night. We had great fun. I'm not quite sure what the episode that we're going to edit together is going to look like. We've got bits and pieces. We weren't allowed to film in the theatre.
Oh my gosh, my makeup. That's all I'm looking at right now. Anyway,
well, the podcast listeners can't
late.
See the makeup, that's fine. So half the audience won't know what you're talking about. I think you look stunning either way.
Thanks,
that's all right, mate. It's all right. Cheers. So we will get what we can to you. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll see you soon. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to this week's Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. And I'm going to stop doing my Jane McDonald impression.
It's like
this
she's
week
in the
we'll
room.
Be discussing the episodes aired between the 2nd to the 5th of June 2025. We also went to the British Soap Awards last week, and we'll be discussing that in a moment. But first of all, how are you, Rob?
Hello, Jane. How are you this week? Are you all right? It's like
I'm
she's
right,
in the room.
Love.
Honestly, it's stunning. If I close my eyes, it's like I'm doing a podcast with Jane McDonald. It's amazing. Yes, ladies and gents. The headline is EastEnders absolutely swept it at the Soap Awards this year. Amazing. 8
deservedly
awards.
So.
Absolutely. 8 awards, including Best Soap, no less. And what a time it was to be there. Can you imagine if we'd have gone there and it had been a rubbish night for EastEnders, we'd have been left feeling a bit dejected, thinking that we'd travelled all that way for nothing. But I can only compare it to if you go and see, I mean, I assume you go and see your favourite football team and they score 8 goals.
Yes, definitely. We were saying that while we were in the crowd, weren't we? Like, this must be what it feels like to be a football fan. Is this why they love it so much?
Yeah. Right, and I was certainly standing up and cheering like a football fan at places, I tell you.
God, he nearly elbowed me in the face at one point when we won Best Soap.
I
feel like I'm going into Jane McDonald again now.
You can't help it now. I mean, well, to be fair, it's not that dissimilar. Let's be real here. You're not that far from each other,
not
are
that
you?
Was anything wrong?
Where did you say she was from? Wigan?
She's Wakefield. Which is not that far from me, to be fair.
There you go. That's
like,
it.
30
That's
minutes. It. So, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
So, really, your accents are only about half hour on the train apart from each other, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, ladies and gents, it was an incredible night. Hope you enjoyed the little video that we put together. The only gutting thing is that we weren't close enough to the barriers to actually meet anybody, but
yeah,
it was good enough to see them in real life anyway, wasn't it?
I think we both surprised ourselves at how awkward we felt at the prospect of doing it as well when we were there, didn't we?
We went there with the intention of like, right, we're just going to push to the front, we're podcasters.
We're going to push it through, yeah.
We're cocky. We're going to get ourselves into the frame of mind that we used to when we were in the clubs. We're just going to push to the front. And then in the end, we were sort of just like, sort of stand back and let people scream at the soap, because we didn't want to be the sort that were just screaming in people's faces. And like,
not that everybody was screaming in their faces, of course, but there were a few that were, hey, you know what?
Pushier than others, let's just say. But you know what? But what was quite nice was the fact that, you know, you had people with their phones on Zoom calls and like sort of showing their mates, like, soap stars. What I loved the most about it was that you were just amongst soap fans. And you were just able to be the biggest soap geek in the world with no judgment from anybody whatsoever. Everybody has different obsessions when it comes to the soaps. Ours is obviously EastEnders. Other people had Corrie, Emmerdale, Hollyoaks. And it was just nice for everyone to be in that frame of mind and just be so supportive of the soaps. So if you looked at the crowd that was there and then try and tell me that people don't care about the soaps anymore.
Yes, very, very true. There are a lot of people who do. Do you know what, though, as well? It was like a nice vibe. Other than at one point where I felt like I was getting pushed, but that was only a couple of people in particular. Generally speaking, the crowd weren't like that at all.
No.
There were just a couple that I think I clearly was in their way, and they were doing what we said we were going to do. Yeah. So fair play
to them. Should have just done it. They had the balls, Ray. Let's be real.
Yeah, I was going to say they had the balls.
But on the whole, it was like a really sort of nice atmosphere. And I think when you get a crowd that big, you're going to get a couple of shovers, aren't you? It's just the way of the world. But so it was interesting to watch the Soap Awards back and to sort of see what they made of the footage that was actually filmed at the Soap Awards.
Yes, wasn't it?
You edit.
So it was quite a hot day as well, wasn't it?
So and we hot. Just
oh my goodness. And inside the actual Hackney Empire itself, it was very hot. And they closed the bar, like, as soon as we went in. There were a couple of jugs of water lying around.
So one look at us and was like, right, we're closing the bar, that's it. No, none of that.
It felt like that, didn't it? But it was it was very hot, but it was a very, very good atmosphere inside. But it felt quite long, I think, because of the heat, and it was like 3 hours solid filming with no break.
And it's quite cramped as well, isn't it, in that theatre?
Yeah.
Like, really cramped. You're all sort of like packed in like sardines in a tin.
Yeah, it's a bit like when you go to if you go to a gig that's like at a big stadium kind of thing, and the seats are like on because we were on the upper circle, weren't we?
Yeah.
And you're a bit cramped inside. But you know, it was nice to watch, and like you said, very interesting to see how they film it and then how they edit it, because some of those speeches have been edited down.
Oh, they have. Trust me, what was interesting is that when I was watching it, I realised that we were so high up, we weren't even in the frame. On the TV, like our little area, never even got shown. We were like proper in the gods.
I've been taking screenshots. Like, is that us? Is that? We're even higher up. Yeah.
I can promise you, Reed, we weren't on the telly.
Okay, fair.
Not yet. Oh, well. Maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Our time.
So, I mean, in terms of things that you might not have seen, the main kind of editing thing really was a couple of the speeches kind of got shaved down, to say the least. When Jamie Winston went up, because obviously Phil's flashback won best episode, very rightly, in my opinion, because I thought that was phenomenal. She had a speech that she had prepared, and she was going to say that speech come hell or high water, because she had a lot of people to thank, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
And she went on. And I kind of thought that maybe this is just what all the speeches are like and they edit down all of them. But judging by the fact that Jane McDonald went on stage, like when she was talking, and sort of like stared at her and was like, yeah, you're done, love, you're done. And then the producer guy that was running the whole kind of show, I thought was really rude, because he turned around.
I thought it was quite rude.
Considering that she just won this prestigious award, he was standing there saying, all right, everyone, that's how not to do a speech. It was like, all right, bitch, you calm down. Yeah, she's
was a bit awkward, bless her. She was excited, weren't she? Although one thing I would say is the phone, like, she was the only person I noticed who read it off a phone.
Yeah.
I think she just had so many things that she wanted to say, bless her, didn't she?
And she had lots of people to thank.
Yeah, she'd been the spokesperson if we win this award. Because obviously Steve McFadden wasn't there.
No.
Which was a great shame, because he actually won quite a few things, didn't he?
Phil's storyline won kind of everything except best storyline, but it kind of won everything around that, didn't it?
Yeah,
which felt fine. The other one that was really, the other speech that was massively edited was Patsy Palmer's. Now, she did, on the actual speech that you saw on the telly, she did mention nunny and vaginas.
Vaginas just the, specifically.
Yeah, just the once on the telly, not in real life.
It felt like a 5 to 10 minute rant. Yeah.
It was the vagina monologues, essentially, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was the vagina monologues.
Vagina monologues, she really basically was. Gave out. Because she was telling this story about how Shane Ritchie, I think, her and like a couple of the cast had been like doing impressions of the cast's vaginas or something like that.
Yeah, she said something like that. It was an odd time to bring it up, I do feel.
I mean, it was linked. It was relevant to the fact that, you know, the nunny line and all comment. That. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then she just went on and on about vaginas for a bit, which...
It was like she needed to be, like, stopped, you know, like a wind-up doll. It was like someone needed to go, okay,
yeah, that's okay, the, yeah. You've said vaginas plenty of times. And nobody, I can tell you, in the history of the British Soap Awards, or possibly in any speech ever given, has mentioned vaginas as much as Patsy Palmer did that night.
Maybe that's what she was going for, Rob.
Maybe a record.
She wanted to win another award.
Yeah,
vaginas as many times as possible.
But on the whole, I mean, I think the only other thing I would say that was kind of really cut down was some of the crowd reaction. Because the people where we were just going mad for all their different sorts of categories that they were a fan of. The Swala fans in particular were... it was kind of comparable to what teenagers sound like at a sort of One Direction concert in times, wasn't it?
So for anybody who doesn't know, Swala fans are some fans of Coronation Street, and there's a couple on there, Carla and D.S. Swain, who are a couple now.
Swala.
Carla, who was never gay and suddenly is gay, from what I can gather.
But people change, you know, Ree, people change.
They do. Hey, it's fine, but explore it like we did with Suki. That's all I'm going to say on that. Sorry. I do watch Corrie as well, so I feel like I can comment a little.
I have a right to say it.
But you know what, right? It's really nice because, like you said before, it's a place where you feel like you can geek out over your soap. So exactly. It's nice that they've got that outlet and that place to go. We did hear a couple of heckles, though, which I thought were a bit inappropriate. But to be honest, it was like one person.
Yeah.
Two. Because obviously Rudolph Walker and Angela Winter won Best Partnership. Mm. And we were surprised because of how everyone were going about Swallow. We assumed
they had it in the bag, didn't they?
Yeah. But was that a panel vote?
I think it was a panel vote, that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a panel vote. Because they had, so really, the audience reaction has nothing to do with it. It's sort of like the panel are sort of looking at it. And they, you know, Patrick and Yolanda had their two-hander and everything. So I assumed that they looked at everything that went on there and went for that. There was a bit. But you know what? It was also sort of just the odd thing. It wasn't anything raucous or anything like that, you know, just people being disappointed that their people didn't win, you know, and that sometimes happens, you know. It wasn't anything too abusive or anything like that. There was all sorts of rumours going around online that there'd been like massive boos and everything. That wasn't extreme, definitely not. And apparently what might have sounded like boos was the fact that when Rudolph Walker went up, the EastEnders cast were going, Roo, as in Rudolph. So that sounded a bit...
That could make sense then. That could be why the rumours have started then. No, that, I didn't hear specific booing. I just heard somebody... No. I can't even remember what they said. They said something.
Someone just annoyed that their person didn't win, you know, which...
at a football match where the opposite team made chants about everyone. No.
There wasn't riots kicking off or anything like that, what I would say is that they went so mad for Swala when the names were being released that they had to re-record the list of nominees because they drowned out everybody else.
And when they were re-recording, they carried on cheering. And they were like, no, look, we love that you love it.
We love you.
We just need to film this bit without you cheering.
And then go crazy for the rest of it. Just give us a sec, all right? But, do you know what I mean? I can't talk down about that. You know, I was going mad. Like I said, I nearly knocked you out when EastEnders won Best Soap.
Literally.
So, yeah, I stood up.
I was there trying to capture it on camera at the moment. Yeah. Like, no, Rob's elbowed me out. Yes!
I went crazy. I went absolutely crazy, like a raucous fan. But on the whole, it was just such a fun night. It was long, it was hot, it was cramped. But ultimately, EastEnders come away with 8 awards. what a time to kind of tie up the Chris Clenshaw era, right?
Right. Well, can we talk about one in particular that we were disappointed that we did miss, though? But we understand why. It was the newcomer award, wasn't it?
Oh, I was gutted. I was absolutely gutted. But yeah, so Laura Doddington as Nicola was up for best newcomer. There was some stiff competition in that category. I think that what they did edit out of the show was that people were, when Laura's name was announced, there was some Laura.
Oh yeah, Laura,
going on where we were. Not started by us, but I might have joined in. you know, nothing sort of going over the top of anybody or anything, just when a name was announced, then we shut up when somebody else's name was mentioned. But Isabel Smith from Hollyoaks won that, and I'm not going to sit here and, you know, get all sort of pissy about that, because I've seen enough of Isabel Smith and Hollyoaks to know that she is that show's rising star at the moment, and she fully deserved that win.
We were saying it, weren't we, when she were up against her.
That's the competition, right there.
Because we've seen a lot of, I've not seen episodes, but I've seen a lot of clips of her, and she does look like
she's
a
phenomenal
strong actress.
I would say that she's going to be in the TARDIS in the next few years, for sure.
I could see that. Yeah, easily, definitely.
Yeah, she's very strong. And actually, she sort of really kind of helped Hollyoaks win, have a good night, to be honest, because they think she won that, and then they won Best Family. Best Storyline went to that, because they did a whole sort of sibling sexual abuse storyline that was quite heavy and sort of brilliant acting from all involved. So they fully deserved all that they won, Hollyoaks, I will say. But it was just gutting that, because I was so hoping that Laura Doddington was going to win it. I might have cursed it, to be fair. Because when
I
we
was
were
just
outside,
thinking that.
Well, when we were outside, everyone was sort of like screaming everybody like, oh, Laura's, you know, Shayna, and like going mad. And I was sort of like, have I got to do this? Just to sort of get someone to look at me.
Do we?
So when Laura Doddington came out, who she looked gorgeous, by the way. She looks absolutely stunning. All I could think to say was, Laura Doddington, our best newcomer! And she immediately went inside.
Yeah, she went, bye. Now.
Zoomed in. Yeah, I had to go in. So I was like, right. I'm not meant to do this. That's not my role in life.
Or maybe she was just embarrassed at the prospect of somebody shouting that at her. It's her first step.
I don't know. To be honest with
you,
I don't think she heard me, because she had security kind of yelling for her to go in as well. So I doubt
that
she heard.
I think she did.
Oh, you think that was the pure reason that she went inside? I ruined everybody else's Nicola experience, because Laura Doddington heard me yelling and then just went straight inside. Yeah, fair.
Might have been that. While we're on that, though, what did you say to Angelica Bell after?
Okay, so Angelica Bell, who presented one of the awards, it's so awkward. When the show was finished, we all went outside, and she was leaving from the side entrance, and she was, you know, doing a bit of sort of handshaking and pictures and all that kind of thing. And I was quite close to her, and we so happened
well,
to sort
like
of, face to face, and we just looked at each other, we're like, our eyes met. And she sort of smiled and waved at me, and my brain just went slightly frozen. I was like, lovely to meet you. Like an absolute moron. Who does that?
Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. What is that? Like, clearly I was interaction of the night for her, I would hope. You know, lovely to meet you. Yeah, she didn't say it back. She was just like, yes, mate. Yeah,
bless
her.
I think she would have seen if we wanted a picture. And actually, I kind of wish that I had got a picture.
I wish I got a picture.
I used to love her on CBBC.
I'm a big fan of Big Brother, and she just come out of that. So it would have been nice. Talking of Big Brother, saw Jack P. Shepherd as well. That was weird, seeing Jack P. Shepherd in real life, because he's quite a big name at the minute. It's sort of all in the news, just one celebrity Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was at the Comedy Award, which, to be honest with you, I'm sort of like, I've watched enough of Corrie this year to know that this hasn't exactly been a year for Funny David. He's had quite a heavy year. So where they gave him forward for Comedy Award,
I don't know who else they would have given it to, though, either. I think that's kind of why, because for me, David is one of those consistently funny characters anyway. Yeah. Not that he's had a specifically funny role this year, but I don't know who else they could have given it to.
Well, I mean, he's lost
Mary
his house.
Mary would be a standard one, but she's not really been on it from what I've seen, to be honest. Yeah. So I don't see who else. Anyway, can we...
Well,
go on. I was just going to say, shall we mention the elephant in the room that Coronation Street didn't win anything?
Well, I mean, yeah, Coronation Street. Let me tell you, Corrie actually had their worst ever year at the Soap Awards this year.
Awesome.
To be honest with you, it wasn't great for ITV as a whole, to be honest. EastEnders absolutely swept it with 8 awards. Hollyoaks won 3. I think I'm right in saying it's the first time that Hollyoaks has beaten both ITV soaps in the awards.
Yeah, I can believe that easily, yeah.
Emmerdale won 1. For Best Young Performer. They got the Tony Warren Award for one of their camera operators, and then I think it's April Flanagan, I think her name is, got Best Young Performer. Sonny Kendall didn't win that, unfortunately, but so that was Emmerdale's awards. Corrie got special recognition for David Nielsen, absolutely right, because that man's a legend. But that was literally it for Corrie,
bless him.
And then EastEnders won everything else.
Although there was one thing that I thought, oh, maybe Corrie could win against us, and they didn't. I can't remember which one it was now, and I genuinely thought, oh, it was the Mason episode.
Yes, yeah, I watched the Mason episode. It was very good. Yeah,
I thought it were good actually. So I was quite I wasn't surprised, because obviously they were up against some very good competition, like ourselves at EastEnders. But I did think that they'd win more than they did. I must admit, I was surprised at how they didn't win anything.
No, it was their worst ever night by a minute. I don't think it's well, you can't get much worse other than the special recognition award going to somebody else from another soap, and then they would have had absolutely nothing, which is not normal for Corrie, to be honest with you. So I don't know what reaction they had with that behind the scenes, but
bless them, especially when they're in London as well. They've travelled down from Manchester
because
who else did we meet at the Soap Awards? Who did we meet there, Rob? We need to give a little shout out, I feel, to
Conversation Street. Michael and Gemma from the Conversation Street podcast, lovely people, absolutely loved meeting them. I mean, I've been listening to Conversation Street, they've been going for years now. Street, they're close to nearly 700 episodes. Can you imagine us doing 700 episodes of this?
Wow.
And that's dedication. Commitment. I mean, they do live together. They are a couple. So that makes it easier.
It does, yeah. But, you introduced me to Conversation Street as well. So I was listening a lot.
Anyway.
So it felt quite surreal when I, it was Gemma more so, because I've never seen Gemma properly. Like, I've seen Michael's face on things. But what a lovely couple. And absolutely love talking to him. Like, Gemma,
she's hilarious.
So funny.
She's so funny.
Brilliant.
Let me tell you, Conversation Street listeners, that woman is foul-mouthed.
Oh, yeah, she said
I tell you what, the
Michael
editing that Michael...
Teller,
I tell you what, the editing that Michael must have to do, I tell you. But the pair of them are absolutely lovely. We will at some point be doing some sort of joint podcast thing with them, so massively look forward to doing that. Can't wait to do that, actually, because like I say, I've been listening to them for years. It was sort of podcast royalty talking to those two, so absolutely great stuff. So that was about it, but it was just an absolutely great time. It was lovely to see you in person again, Rhi, as well, obviously, because how often do we do that these days?
We never do. It was so good to just be milling about with Robin. I noticed a couple of people commented saying it was weird to see us together, and it's like, it's strange, isn't it? Because that's like, we did do that all the time.
We used to sort of go to uni together. For us, this is odd. You know, the fact that we're not actually in the same room, because we used to just hang around all the time together, didn't we?
Much lived together, I think, in uni at one point.
Pretty much.
You know, we were just in each other's pockets.
We've shared beds and stuff, me and Rhi.
Everything.
Well,
not everything, but you know.
No, not everything. Nothing went on in the bed, let me assure you. But it was really great to see. So let's hope we'll do that again soon, on or off camera. Go on.
I was just going to say, sorry, one last thing. How cool was the hotel that I booked for us, Rob?
Oh my God, that was the coolest hotel I've ever seen. I mean, you might be able to see it in some of the video. And if they want to see the video, Rhi, where do they go to?
www.youtube.com/Albert Square after dark.
Yeah, that was just www.youtube.com and have a look. But the hotel that you booked was something out of Black Mirror. It was crazy. Like, you could control the entire room with an iPad. That would be the lighting, the telly, the blinds on the outside of the window that when you took down, it just blacked out the room completely. So you had a great night's sleep. The bed was huge. The shower, you could do kind of cool lighting, and you could put the room into sleep mode, which sort of lowered the lights down and played like really soft sea music and all that kind of thing, and it lulled you into sleep. You could set an alarm so that the room would wake you up, although we didn't need that, let me say. because the fire alarm went off about 10 minutes after our alarms went off anyway for our train home, which is a good job, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, luckily it didn't wake me up. I'd already woken up, but the fire alarms went on for quite some time.
It did.
Quite worrying that no one actually tried to evacuate.
No, it was person's burning building. Oh, well, never mind. Anyway, breakfast, yeah, it was great. But really nice room. Well done for getting that, Ray. Stay there again. Absolutely there again. But on the whole, an amazing time. Absolutely loved it. And let's hope we get to do the same thing again next year. It's in Manchester next year.
I was just going to say, I'm really hoping it is, because we found out they alternated, don't they? I'd love to go in Manchester and see what it's like there.
Yeah, really, really fun. So we'll do that next year. We'll get like a nice hotel in. I'll leave you to do the hoteling in Manchester. Yeah, get us a nice place for you.
Just I don't like know if it'll be an iPad controlled one, but I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do. So on to this week's award winning EastEnders. Klenner's, I do believe, penultimate week. His final week is next week. Ben Wadey's era officially begins on the 16th of June. We, of course, will be doing a Chris Clenshaw retrospective next week. We'll be filming that at some point next week, and that'll be out over the weekend, I think, next week. So that'll be good to do. But on to this week, funnily enough, after, you know, they've absolutely swept the floor at the awards and had such a big week last week, this week was a lot quieter, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I agree. It was, yeah, definitely.
A lot quieter.
But it felt like one of those set-up weeks that we sometimes have, I feel. And even though it was quieter, a lot went on, so there's a lot upcoming. I mean, he's leaving Wadey quite a bit, so there's that, isn't there?
Isn't he
I'm not sure how I'm feeling about all this limo stuff, but we'll get to that.
No, we'll get to that, though. We will get to that. So let's crack on with the show proper in this week's Albert Square After Dark. So we will kick off this week with talking about Lauren and Peter. And let me tell you, someone who's not getting a gold star from us this week, I suspect, will be Peter.
I mean, you know that whole toxic man discussion we had the other week?
Yeah.
Probably going to backtrack on that now and be what on earth, Peter?
I mean, the thing is, I can sort of see a path where I understand what he's trying to say, but at the same time, it's sort of like, there's ways and means, Peter, for God's sake. Like, this is not the way that you deal with an addict. Like, they're going to find stuff hard occasionally. And actually, what Lauren's gone through the past couple of weeks has been quite traumatic for her. And
your attitude
towards her isn't helping.
Wasn't he addicted to cocaine at one point?
Yeah, he was. So
what's to stop her throwing that in his face and going, well, how do I know when going gets tough, you're not going to go and get loads of coke then?
Exactly. It would have been nice to sort of mention. I mean, I don't know if she would have known about that. So, yeah, it would have been nice
because it were a different
sort of
Peter, weren't it, maybe?
Yeah, different Peter.
It wasn't
Peter,
Thomas Law Peter when that happened.
No, yeah. So this one didn't even sleep with Suki, this Peter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Or Dana. This Peter's done nothing like that. So, obviously, after the events of Jimmy's diagnosis, Peter and Lauren are at loggerheads. They're really not in a very good place with their relationship at all. Simple fact is Peter blames Lauren for everything. He is basically convinced that, and it's, I mean, I don't know whether he's right or not. I don't think they've had a proper sort of, like, solid diagnosis of that yet. But it seems to Peter that Lauren's drug taking during the pregnancy has basically resulted in Jimmy's blindness, which is probably why he's acting the way he is.
I mean, it is likely, and I can understand why you would feel some anger towards that if you genuinely believe in that that's what caused it. But, you know, for me as well, like, has everybody forgotten that Cindy were giving it to her?
And, she's got out of this.
Anyway.
She has got out of this completely scot-free on the whole.
In fact, at one point, she was slating Lauren and being like, I can't believe she's left you with a newborn, Peter. Like, are you joking? That's what he's just been doing that for the past week, we're led to believe. So what are you on about? And it's your fault, Cindy.
Yeah.
Pipe down, love.
Yeah, as much as you love Cindy, she...
Oh, so she ain't getting my gold star this week, let me tell you. It's a sin. It is a sin, Cindy.
It is a sin. It is a sin, mind you. Cindy on the microphone now, that was an iconic scene. Yeah, all forgiven for since she got onto the microphone, I found. Yeah, I couldn't fault her for that. So, Lauren sort of reacts, basically, to everything that Peter is saying. And decides that she wants to get a drink. Now, I was pleased to see that wherever she went, people were like, no, love. Like, we're not doing that. I mean, stupidly, the first person she went to was Linda, who, if she thought that Linda was going to serve her alcohol, then she was barking up the wrong tree, surely.
But I feel like Lauren did this somewhat deliberately because she even mentioned it herself. I'm like, maybe he was right that I was looking for a bit of drama because I could have just gone to an off-licence and got some. But really, she wanted somebody to stop her almost. I feel like...
Should have gone to Tracy. Tracy served Phil. Should have gone to Tracy.
Oh, yeah, innit? Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you want a triple, actually?
Oh, yeah, I'll make that a triple shot. Like, yeah, and there's a Sambuca shot in there as well, while I write it.
I'll make Sambuca shot.
Yeah. On the house.
No, I feel like her and Peter were having the argument, and then he said something like, oh, you know, because you're just going to go off and have a drink or something, and... He was basically accusing her of it, and I feel like in that moment, Lauren was like, well, if you're going to accuse me of it, I might as well
go get pissed. Yeah.
Why don't I go and do it then? If you're going to just say it at me anyway when I'm not even doing it, then I might as well go and do it. Yeah. I feel like that was some of the logic. But yeah, and then she went to she went to Peggy's barn, and it was Gina who refused her.
Harry's
so part
barn.
Of me does think Harry's barn, sorry, yeah. Part of me were thinking she does know that she's going to get refused.
Yeah.
But then didn't we have that scene with her and Zach where she ordered a vodka and they gave it her? And she's just like, oh, I just like to order one and stare at it sometimes.
Yeah, like when she first came back, I think that was, wasn't it? Like, she ordered the drink, and mind you, I don't think anybody knew her in the bar at that point, did they?
Yeah, true.
I think she just said, I just like to sit and stare at it, maybe sniff it occasionally. And I remember thinking at the time, that doesn't seem like a good idea whatsoever.
No.
So I'm glad she didn't do that. But talking to Zach, she ends up going back to Zach's. And by the end of Monday's episode, because Zach's in a mess anyway as well. So by the end of that, they end up having a little smooch.
Yes, a little kiss. Well, he definitely kissed her back, didn't we?
Oh, they left. I imagine tongs and everything were involved in that kiss. Yeah, they went at it like beasts.
Well, they didn't go. They didn't, though, did they? Because
they didn't sleep together. It seemed to suggest that they were about to go and sleep together. But when we got into Tuesday's episode, it was revealed that Zach had slept on the sofa. So,
Fair. Good.
So, if you could say, kissing probably is cheating as well, but it didn't go as far as it possibly could have done at that moment, which is good. But does this suggest Zach and Lauren?
They're quite well suited, to be fair, aren't they?
They are, rather. And I can't really see at this point much of a future between Peter and Lauren either.
No, wait, he's carrying on, are you joking me?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I feel like... Like, Zach was what Lauren needed from Peter, weren't he?
Yeah.
But would Zach be like that if he was in Peter's position? I don't know. If it was his child and he genuinely believed that it was her, you know, drug taking during pregnancy, would he be that understanding? But because he's somewhat of an outsider, he's able to see Lauren's perspective a bit more.
Yeah.
Not that I'm condoning Peter's behaviour this week, because he's been absolutely awful, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous. But also, it gave Peter a moment to, pull his finger out his arse and help with Jimmy while she weren't there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And instead,
because he's been off sulking
for not being there.
He's basically been sulking for most of the aftermath of the diagnosis and just sort of leaving Lauren to it, and then wondering why she's struggling. So it was, too right. She was nice. It was nice to actually see Peter do some actual parenting for a change.
Mm.
I mean, there was some nice stuff between Zach and Lauren, I thought. You know, that scene where... Because the problem is, because of the difficulty that she's been having with feeding, she's having difficulties, shall we say, and she's sort of leaking. Now, I've been...
I'm embarrassed to ask this! I can answer it, Rob. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, love. Don't you get embarrassed.
So, there was some leakage going on, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is because of her natural hormones... like creating the milk, and so it has to come out, doesn't it? Is there anything you can do apart from, because presumably the situation of baby not latching on is kind of quite common whilst that's going on, so is there anything you can do? Like, I'm not suggesting there's like a milking machine or anything that you just stick to your boobs and it kind of comes out, but is there a thing?
Yeah, that's exactly what you do, Rob.
Is there a machine?
It's called a breast pump. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. But because Lauren had gone out being impulsive, so if you're not able to feed your child for whatever reason, so like you're going, no, that's fine, there'll be plenty. Do you know what? To be fair, I've known this before I had a kid. So if you're not able to feed your child, for
I didn't even
reason,
know that you could have lactose cookies. I sent you that picture when
you told
when
me.
You
neither did I.
You should know this, ladies and gents. They're bloody expensive, but you can buy tickets, cookies that that you
help
can buy cookies that help you produce milk. I didn't know this. They look quite nice in the packet. I was half tempted to try some, but they were nearly 20 quid.
No, they were.
So
you're not missing out. You better have a normal cookie. They were all right, but
stick with a Maryland's, you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, you get a breast pump machine, and they come in all. So you can get all kinds of different ones, Rob.
Really?
You can get manual ones, electric ones. You get all
that sounds painful.
Ones. No, not more. I wouldn't say it's any more painful than actual breastfeeding. Which
sticking an electric breast pump onto your boobs—that just sounds. That sounds quite.
If it hurts, it's the wrong one, and you need to get a different one. You get different sizes. So basically, she could have either been wearing breast pads, so that would have caught it as well, so that it reached to her top.
Yes.
But again, depending on like your feeding situation, that might not even be enough, depending on how much comes out. But yeah, so if you're not able to feed your child, you would get a breast pump. So women who have to go back to work early, get a breast pump, and you'd have a breast pump break.
And then when you have your breast pump, can you then sort of transfer it into a bottle or something? And
it goes into a bottle from the pump, some of them, Rob.
Genius.
Yeah, thought of everything in 2025.
Haven't they just?
And you can store it, and you can save it.
Can you freeze it?
You can get a ticket from the bottle. You know that, like, you know, like bodybuilders buy breast milk.
Shut up.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Shut up.
I swear to God. Because it's so high in protein and all the stuff, and it's so good for you. Yeah, people make money from it.
That's mad.
You know women who have an oversupply?
Yeah.
Woo!
They sell it. Really?
They're in there. Yeah, honestly, yeah. People buy it. Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, that's what you would do normally. But because obviously she just went out really impulsively. She won't have had any breast pads or a breast pump with her. But that is what she should have done. Anyway, there we go. 5 minute breast pump convo.
Fascinating. So basically she spends the night at Zach's, and the next day she kind of goes and sees Peter, and who's suddenly quite apologetic, and talking to her about honesty, which kind of pushes her over the edge again. And I think they're basically done. They're at loggerheads now, aren't they? And the trust's gone. I think the respect's gone on both sides.
I think as well, which hasn't helped, is Lauren's not actually said where she was when she's gone. Like, she's like, I'm at a mate's. If
which
you've got
mate?
Nothing to hide, you'd just say I was at Penny's or wherever,
or
you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's all she needs to say. But the fact that she couldn't specify which mate kind of, I mean, you know, yes, Peter is bang out of order for most of this week. But at the same time, sort of see, I understand why he's sort of getting a bit pissy about that, because you can't even tell him. You know, and
the
first thing that will come to be said is, oh, she went and cheated on me, which if Lauren had had her way at that moment, she probably would have done. And arguably she kissed Zach, which is cheating in itself. So
there is that, isn't there? But my goodness, Peter, come on. Do you know what really riled me is that he's not cared at all. Well, not that he's not cared, okay, but he's not helped with Jimmy, has he?
No, not
then
really.
All of a sudden, he's made to help with Jimmy because Lauren goes, well, do you know what? Sod you. I'm going if you're going to say all this stuff.
Mm.
And she, you know what? It's really hard being a new mum. So
yes, it is.
When you've got a partner being that unsupportive and
I couldn't
going
do
through
it.
Everything, you know, it's kind of fair play that she went off for the night. Mm. And she must have been bad to leave a kid, right, to do that in the first place. But then for him to be like, oh, well, now I'm going to bond with him for the night, and then I'm going to take him to hospital and get custody. Like, oh, now all of a sudden you want to be involved. Are you for real?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. So he's now after full custody of both Louis and Jimmy. What do you reckon his chances are? I don't know if this is going to go all the way to court or anything like that, but I mean, Ian's got money, so he's going to be solicitors and stuff. So, and you know, there's more of a family business on Peter's side. So, in the eyes of the court, is Jimmy going to be more suited to being with Peter than Lauren at this point?
It's not often that they side with the father like completely, but I do think these days that, fathers have more rights than they used to. I think a lot of it can go on whether they're on the birth certificate. That's quite an official thing these days. So he's got a good chance in that regard. But I guess it depends on whether they try, if he's going to play dirty and go down all her addiction route. But
what does Lauren do for work
at
the minute?
Was she at the car lot? feel like she went to the car with Jay.
I think she was at the car before. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But she'll be on maternity leave at the minute, you'd think.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I guess it depends if he plays really dirty and tries to go down the addict route. But at the same time, Lauren's been incredibly open about it, even with like health visitors and midwives, and they all know that she's on the methadone. So I don't know how far they go with these things. Will he be getting a drug tested, an alcohol tested? I have no idea. But then you're saying Ian's got all the money, but we know rumour is that somebody else is coming back who might help Lauren out.
Indeed, and help which I wonder if this is
a stable home.
I wonder if this is the start of it. Although if that person's coming back and claiming stability, he'd be lying. Let's be real here. So much to come with that, I think. It feels like this is very much the sort of start of the disintegration of Peter and Lauren. And I would argue maybe the beginning of Zach and Lauren.
Yeah, I agree. But just something I'm going to mention, actually. We had the scene where Peter went to the private hospital and he saw that little girl who... She's got sight difficulties as well. I don't know if she were fully blind. I think she were partially sighted. And he had a conversation with her parents. And for me, when he were talking to him and they said, oh, what we realised is we need to provide a stable home, I thought that were going to be his turning point of, I need to go and apologise to Lauren. I need to go back. We need to make it. That's how I thought conversation was going. I was expecting him to do a complete 180 and be like, right, well, then I need full custody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he's turning into his dad, is Peter, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And maybe a little bit of Cindy as well, we always being, if I'm honest.
Mm. Yeah. So we should say, I'll tell you what, though, this is the thing. I can see Cindy sort of working all of this to her advantage. She'll be saying to Ian, right, we need to work together. We need to work together, Ian. And she'll be able to get her claws back in from that point to kind of get back in within the family.
She already has a little bit, didn't she? She organised that meeting this week. Her and Cathy, all is forgiven that you whacked me over the head with a shovel because, you know, we need to help Lauren and Peter. All of a sudden, that's all been put to the side because Cathy came, didn't she, as well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we should have to wait and see. Talking of Cindy, we'll talk about her next because she has opened the bar for business. So, the Prince Albert is under new management. Cindy has officially taken over. And because she's Cindy, everything goes wrong because she's trying to sort of... The thing is, what she does is like, right, everything needs to change. I want every single scrap of Kathy removed from this place whatsoever, like completely. And it's going to be a much more high up market. I want high market gays and lesbians in this place and nothing else.
Yes, and, of course she does.
Yes, and as a result of that, she probably, I think what she does is that she spends far too much on everything else and doesn't think to do that little thing called paying the staff.
Well, actually, I feel a certain way about this.
I wondered if you'd have something to say about this, being a bar owner and that.
Kathy should have paid those wages. Mm. They were under Kathy's employment when they did those hours. That would not be up to Cindy to pay.
So you'd be kicking off if you were Cindy. You'd be taking it to court.
Because the staff would have no chance getting it off Cindy. They didn't work for her then, they worked for Cathy.
She did mention that briefly at one point, didn't she? But it didn't really get kind of picked up on apart from that.
I can see why the staff might not understand that.
It's not their problem.
Cindy's not paid us.
Yeah, it's not their problem. Who pays them, is it, as long as they get paid?
But also quite shady of Cathy, because even if you have given up your business and all that, like, they worked for you at that point. You took the profits from the shifts that they worked.
You
should have paid their wages. But anyway.
Probably did it deliberately.
We wouldn't have had the drama, though, would we, if that had happened?
And we love the drama, Mick.
We do love the drama.
So the bar is kind of open. I loved all of this. I thought it was so, like, the funeral that they gave the old bar. Brilliant.
Yeah, it was good, that.
This is Cindy at her most camp and sort of iconic, isn't it? Like, if you don't like Cindy, then you're going to struggle with moments like this. But fortunately, we both love her. And when she's in this mode is when she's at her most, like, brilliant, I think. Because, like, the idea that she would throw a funeral, walk through the square with a makeshift coffin, with Tara Massou all dressed up and herself in, like, a dramatic black veil as though, like, they're having some sort of state funeral for the bar... Brilliant.
Perfect. I think it was Tara Massou's idea, though, wasn't it? Because just before they walked in, she was like, whose idea was this? But then she was like, well, we're here now. I think she saw Elaine's reaction and was like, oh.
Perfect. Well done. We'll do this. Yeah. I mean, nice to see Tara again, by the way, before Felix leaves.
Why is Felix leaving? There's finally...
So he's getting so much more to do at the minute, isn't he? Like, he's got, with Johnny, and Johnny. It's so frustrating. Like they
he could literally just be the GM of the outfit for Cindy. Yeah. They can have their little to and fro's about things.
He could easily have been the deputy manager of the Albert.
Yeah, easily. Easily. He could definitely have done that. Anyway, there we go.
So
plus, you've been saying as well for ages about how Kathy like just didn't suit earning the Albert. Then they've got Cindy, who could be paired with Felix as well. They could have earned their own little beefs. It's so annoying.
It would have been really good. It would have been really, really good. So, yeah, what happens from this, however, is because the staff all walk out on opening night, Cindy's kind of screwed. And the poor woman's ordered cardboard cutouts of herself and everything. I want one. I want one. I want a Cindy cardboard cutout in my room, standing over my bed. Yeah. Make sure that happens on my birthday, please, Ray. So what happens is George kind of ends up feeling a little bit guilty, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, Kojo and George walk past and see her struggling to take the boxes in, don't they? After he's already seen her a couple of times that week struggling with the new reopening. And yeah, and then he decides he's going to help her, doesn't he? I don't know how I feel about this.
See,
well, I do know how I feel about it.
Well, you do. I'm sure you do. He hires some staff for her. And the evening goes by pretty spectacularly. Like, the bar opens and the whole night's a big success. At the same time, while Elaine is trying to do one of her karaoke nights at the Vic, which absolutely flops, nobody goes, nobody there. She actually has to physically frog march people to the microphone. Patrick and Yolandi doing their number, bless them. Not suited for karaoke work,
got
I suspect.
Forced into it.
Just side note, we should mention Shrimpy and Marie.
Oh, why not?
Why not? Like that.
Love it.
Yeah, why not?
It's funny that they do. I love it every so often when they have like the extras have a little bit of a thing.
Have a little thing. Shrimpy and Marie, absolutely. I'm all up for that.
Why not? Yeah, definitely.
They're very happy together. Absolutely loved it. I mean, Marie looked absolutely besotted by Shrimpy.
Besotted? Shame. Doing his little rendition for her.
I thought Shrimpy would be a better singer because he's on the piano and stuff like that. I figured that he'd be like some really kind of talented soul singer or something. And he apparently, according to that karaoke session, he wasn't.
I know what you mean. I was surprised that he was so bad, but maybe he was drunk.
Distracted by Marie's beauty. That's what
it would
have been.
Drunk in love.
Drunk in love. That's what he was like, Ray. And when you're in love, you can't sing. It's a known
fact. Apparently not. Meanwhile, George is at the Albert helping Cindy while Lane's, you know, like, where are all my customers? Why is it so successful over there? Yeah. That's all I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Well, this is it. I'm not a fan of this whole George and Cindy thing. You can't be getting over the fact. No, you can't. You can't just get over the fact that she slept with his son. Come on.
You wouldn't think so.
He's just forgotten like that.
There is surely only so much that Cindy can turn around to him and say. It's for the girls, like these fully grown women. Like, it's not like these two are kids anymore. Like, they're fully grown women capable of leading their own lives. Like, Anna's on holiday at the minute on her own. Like, she's fine. You don't need to run this bar for the girls. You're doing it for yourself. Like, everybody can see that, apart from George, it would appear.
I know that they've got, like, this history and everything, but you would think that her sleeping with his son would be enough to go,
I'm not going to help you.
Maybe you should carry your own boxes in, actually. You know, you've made your bed and my son's, so lie in it. I'm not going to come and help you. I actually felt for Elaine this week. I know that she has a rivalry. But then for George to not then go and tell her that he'd been helping.
Yeah, and then to say, I'm going to go and apologise for your behaviour.
I'd be fuming if I were Elaine.
I know, so would I.
I'd be like, while you're at it, go and stop at Phil's again. All right?
Yeah,
for the foreseeable.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, it's are we back in any minute now territory, do we reckon?
No.
It was a fun
catchphrase. And if we are, I'm actually not here for it at all. I'm actually going to be quite annoyed if we are there.
It feels like it shouldn't happen now. Like, after everything that Cindy's done, I struggle to see why George would have any sympathy for her whatsoever. Like I say, there's only so much you can push using the girls as an excuse, you know? Yeah.
Do you know what I have just thought, though?
What?
So Cindy's going to be helping Peter try and get custody. Lauren's on the other side and Max is coming back.
Yeah.
So Max and Cindy are going to be at loggerheads over Jimmy and that's what's going to cause their affair. So why is George getting in the mix anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. George and
we don't need George. We've got Max coming.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, we don't know an affair's happening between Max and Cindy, but we very much assume it.
I mean, if there's any two people.
If Bungie, they're both single, it's not even an affair. That doesn't suit Cindy whatsoever. She needs to get with someone so that she can then have an affair.
No, but it would be an affair in a way, because Lauren and Peter are going to be at each other's throats, and to the public, they're going to be against each other supporting the two kids, but behind closed doors, we know exactly what they're going to be going
on. Not technically an affair, but unwise, which, you know, Cindy has never slept with anybody wise in her entire life, so why break the habit of a lifetime? I mean, yeah, it is what it is with George and Cindy. I do... It feels like, at some point... they sort of have to sleep together, but given their history. But at the same time, it's sort of like, now, after everything that's happened, I don't understand why George ever would. But are we led to believe that George kind of deep down does sort of still love her?
It's like they've got this unbreakable connection, isn't it? I think that's what we're supposed to see. And he just gets Cindy, and she just gets George.
It's the addiction that Cindy is. This is the thing. They kind of frame Cindy as being this addiction that men sort of can't help but be magnetised towards. And maybe George is sort of falling into that category. Ian seems fairly over her at the minute. Again, it would seem... struggle to sort of imagine Ian wanting to get back with Cindy at this moment. And I feel like she's hurt George as much as she's hurt Ian. So it's sort of like... And the girls wouldn't even be that enamoured with the idea of George and Cindy getting back together, I don't think, would they?
No. No, if anything, Gina will like, let her get a black cab and wave bye. I don't want anything to do with her. But then George has got the angle of, you know, you've got your mummy here, you're lucky. I never got a chance to meet my real mum and all of that jazz that he said this week. So again, you're saying they say it's about the girls, but then when you think about what George has got going on and what he wants for his daughters, but he doesn't need to be involved.
No.
To be fair, does he? No. He doesn't need to be getting involved in that.
In any way.
Like you said, they're grown ups, they can make their own decisions on whether they want to be involved with the mum or not. She was sleeping with the brother. I mean, when you put it like that.
Why would any of you give her the time of day?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And she did at one point go around accusing everybody of trying to kill her.
Yeah, and that little thing. Yeah, and sorry, which are an absolute dick to both Gina and Anna on Christmas Day.
She was. She called them both pathetic for being slightly upset that she was walking out of their lives again for no reason.
Yeah, like about something that a child could get upset about to do with the mother.
Well, an adult could get upset about it. Especially when you thought that she was dead for years.
Yeah.
Hey. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. But I feel like the arrival of Max is going to cause quite a lot of drama, as we knew it would. So bring that on, as far as I'm concerned. Right, ladies and gents, before we get on to what looks to be a big wedding kicking off next week, let's have a brief discussion about Avani. So, brief little discussion about Avani. Obviously, Barney, bless him, had some making up to do, and Priya was not about to let him do it, was she?
Hilarious that Nicola's accepted Avani, but Priya's not accepting little Barney, bless him. But quite funny, we're going to have some beef there.
Does it seem slightly odd to you that Harry seems to have just sort of been okay this week with Nicola and everything? But it seems like Barney, understandably, has had the most effect from this. And, you know, him and Zach have clearly now got a very difficult relationship ahead of them. But Harry seems all right.
It's like they're all living a shared fantasy at the moment, isn't it? Of let's go back to normal and pretend none of this happened.
All for Barney.
He did make a slight dig because she said something about, oh, is that your... when Barney got a text, is that your Panasar princess? I approve. And and then Harry were like, oh, well, that's a big test to pass, Barney. It's like... Mm. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, even though he's doing it for Barney's sake, it does feel like, would you really be doing that when you just found out you were, like, you literally look like you were about to kill your mum the other week, quite literally, and now you're living in a house with her again to help your little brother. I don't know. It's a very weird, it's very weird how they've left it all.
Let's be honest, they're a weird family, aren't they?
How they've just left the Zach stuff and they're just all going to carry on like it never happened, including Nicola in that mix.
Yeah, there was a few hints at the Zach thing this week because, you know, Zach kind of kept trying to talk to Barney and Barney would just sort of scurry off. And there was a bit of a sort of non-verbal moment between Teddy and Zach where they sort of squared up to each other and then just sort of walked away from each other. So I feel like it's not forgotten about, but I feel like everybody is sort of almost trying to play it carefully. It's like one of them's got to make the first move and it's sort of we're at that moment where we're sort of like, whoever that is, that's when war will start again. But until that move gets made, we're sort of at a loggerheads or at a stalemate with one another. So I don't know, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But Avani, Obviously, she was having all of these trolls kind of going after her. And she had a bit of a moment with Joel this week because she's basically discovered that Joel has been spreading it around that they slept together. And that is why that she's been accused of all sorts on TikTok and on social media. Mm-hmm. So she delivers to him a swift kick to the groin, and no kick to the groin has been deserved better.
Well, this is where I think... I don't think he did release the footage of Avani. I don't think has gone out. No. And I think it's going to be in revenge to this.
Yeah, this is why he's going to do it. Yeah, I'm surprised, actually. All he really did. Which in itself is kind of weird because, actually, I would fully expect any teenage boy, I'm not saying it's right, but I would fully expect any teenage boy to go around to all his mates and say, yeah, I slept with this girl last night, and all doing all that shite.
Well, especially given Joel's character and the fact that he recorded it. Why did he record it then? Just so he can sit and... Well, mind you, he seems like a sex addict, doesn't he, to be fair? So maybe it's just so he can sit and watch it.
He's a sex pest. I know that much for nothing. His and Tommy's relationship is getting bloody weird, let me tell you.
I know, but it's... Tommy's so desperate for a friend, isn't he, bless him?
That he's now he's discovered going along porn. With it all. Yeah, it's... I mean...
And you can see he's not even that bothered. He just wants to sit and play video games. It's Joel constantly going on and on.
Well, with everything... We'll talk about the Cat and Alfie stuff in a minute. Yeah. But what's, I think, something that's going to be leading into next week quite dramatically is the fact that Joel comes around and him and Tommy are kind of left on their own because Amy's supposed to be babysitting the twins, but she kind of like realises that I'm just going to get annoyed here, so I'm going to go. So she left, leaving Tommy and Joel alone. And Joel's first thing is saying, your dad's credit card here. So cool, we'll buy extreme porn on the internet. Now, for a start, I'm not being funny. You don't need to buy porn.
Oh, right. I was just going to say, Alfie, why are you leaving your bank card at home around kids?
That, for a start. Yeah, that's how you you lose money quite quickly. But yeah.
I didn't think they'd bought porn. It looked to me like one of them like chat things. I don't know how they work, but it was like chat with me now. So I don't know if they paid to chat to somebody live or something.
I don't know. I thought the implication was because they've got to be so careful about how they frame that at 7:30 on BBC One.
True.
I didn't particularly look at it. Though I saw lots of blurred images and was just like, right, it's a porn film. I thought basically it was just that they bought this porn. And like I say, you don't need to buy porn. I'm sorry. It's out there for free.
Or is it a certain type that you have to buy?
Unless it's that, exactly, which would suggest that we're looking at slightly more of the extreme look at porn, which would then suggest that Kat has just stumbled across something they're nasty.
Yes. Do you think that... And I feel like Kat's just not going to... Is she just not going to mention it and be off with Alfie? It was a very odd thing to leave us on for the week, I feel, that Duff Duff.
Well, the implication was that she's found this extreme stuff on Alfie's laptop. I mean, dumb for a start. Has Tommy not got his own laptop? Like, dumb for a start.
Both of them just leave it open.
And then just leave it on there. A, to do it on his laptop at all. And then B, to leave it on there.
Yeah.
So that the next person that opens it is just going to say, oh, a porn film. You know, that was not intelligent. But presumably this is now going to be the start of them sort of looking at Tommy's behaviour in particular, because I feel like Tommy now has kind of had his mind opened to a very strange dark world, which he's now going to become obsessed with, because he's got nothing else to become obsessed with, you know?
So, see, I viewed it as it's going to be a problem for Kat and Alfie, and she's just not going to mention it to Alfie, and she's just going to be really off with him until eventually it does come up. And then, of course, Tommy's not going to say that actually it was Joel who suggested it. He's not going to even mention it had anything to do with Joel. Because he don't want to stop hanging around with him, does he? Because it's like his only mate. Yeah. Even though, actually, Amy were being quite sound with Tommy. So I don't think he's that... I wouldn't have thought he needs mates as desperately as he does. But I don't know. We know how desperate he was before when he was like, you know... Talking with AI and stuff. And
exactly.
Now he's got real friendships. So.
Yeah, so I think the implication is after everything that went on with Kat, he's kind of seen as a bit of a nutter. So nobody's really hanging around with him. And Joel's the only one that's giving him the time of day, which sort of means that this world is very susceptible. So we'll see how that all plays out next week, because that will very much be the backdrop to what appears to be a wedding. So on to the final storyline of this week. Cass and Alfie are engaged again, kind of. Like, really engaged, but fake wedding. I was a bit confused by all this, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit confused, if I'm honest with you. So are they just having the reception next week and not having the ceremony?
It seems that what they're doing is sort of doing a huge sort of reception thing for this fake magazine. Well, not fake magazine, but they're doing a fake thing.
A real magazine.
Yeah, and then Harvey and Kathy, for some reason, are half paying for it because they are half included in the limo business deal.
So basically, they're trying to get a full photo shoot done to show what they can offer for their limo services, which means presumably the limo is going to be in all these shots somehow. I mean, I would guess that they're having the reception at the Vic. So Kathy and Harvey, what they're going to pay to have a full actual reception just so they can have these photos, it sounds like.
Yeah. So basically, Harvey has trying to go into business with his mate Cheeky.
Yeah.
And Cheeky is basically retiring from his business as a limo sort of owner, driver, rent type person. And Cheeky is a bit of a ducker and a diver. And he has the idea of going with Harvey and then realises when he's talking to Kat that she's probably quite a good business person to go into as well. So basically he's trying to play them off against one another and then ends up getting the best possible deal for himself by them both being involved in the business. So that he gets the most money out of the situation, effectively, was what happened.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, Kat had no idea that she was going to end up going into business with Harvey, his silent partner, until she met him and the deal had all been signed off. So she was kind of stuck there in this deal that she didn't really want to be in.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Jean comes back this week. Jean and Mo return from their little holiday to go and see Fat Elvis. Mo's sex life has been completely and utterly ruined because of Jean.
Debbie Downer in corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle. And so when Jean discovers that Harvey and Kat are in business together, she takes it really, really well.
Yeah, of course she does. Beautifully. Brilliantly. Poor Jean. Poor Jean, though, to be fair. I'm kind of glad that they've brought her back still sad and not just like that she's over it, which they do tend to do when they write them out that... Yeah, but I'm kind of glad that they're still going like, no, she's still devastated by it, bless her.
That said, you know, she doesn't take it well. She slaps Kat, she tells her that she's no longer a Slater. She doesn't deal with it well at all. Yeah. All of that said, I actually am quite pleased that Kat then turned around to her when they were sort of in the midst of arguing and said, hang on a minute there, lady. I forgave you for ringing the social on my family and having my son taken away from me. So do you want to pipe down a second, please? You want to 100%. Talk about forgiveness?
Totally. Because as well, in fairness, Kat didn't knowingly go into business with Harvey. It was a genuine mistake. She's feeling awful about it. And Jean's still going in on her. And then, so Kat is right to say, well, you basically got my kid took off me. So.
Yeah, so do you want to shut up a minute?
She did then, though, say something like, oh, well, it was your fault, Harvey. You know, you neglected him so much, you went to another woman. It's like, oh, come on, Kat, you didn't need to say that.
No, but, she didn't need to say
that. Too right, actually. I do agree. But then I think we're supposed to see that Jean is just still so devastated that you can't reason with her and make her see that. She's just seeing, oh, look, another form of betrayal again, this time from Kat.
Yeah.
Rather than actually it was a genuine mistake that they can't get out of.
I mean, so this limo business, I mean, I'm not quite sure how this is all going to play out. Presumably, what I'm thinking is that once the wedding's done, we're never going to hear from this limo business again, I feel like. It's one of those setups, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't quite make it out. Or it'll just be like kind of in the background and every so often it'll be, oh, Harvey's out in the limo today, so he's not here or something like that. Yeah.
You've been in
you can't just have a limo parked up on square.
No, it takes time. A square? You've tried driving a limo around a square. It'd be impossible. I'm surprised they managed to get it into the square at all. You ever been in a limo?
Yeah.
Have you? I've never been in a limo.
Do you know what? When I was at school, when we all started turning 16, we all like wanted to do his own like super sweet 16. So we were just like hire a limo to take us to Pizza Hut.
That's an excellent idea.
Oh, yeah, that's your dream.
That's my dream. A limo taking me to Pizza Hut? Yes, please. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, we did that a few times when I were a kid, when we were 16.
I'm very jealous.
They are fun. They are fun.
Yeah, I do need... I want one of those that's got a hot tub in it and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Oh, God, no, I've not been in one of them. Well, I think that would be a Hummer that you'd get that. But I tell you what, Rob, when it's your next big birthday, I won't say the age.
No, do not maybe say the age. Could... Do not say when it is. It's millions of years away yet. But
maybe
yeah.
We could get a limo to Pizza Hut.
That would be stunning. That would be absolutely amazing. And then at like celebrities, we'll get all glammed up like we did for the Soap Awards to go to Pizza Hut.
We'll see if we can get Harvey to drive us there. Why not?
Absolutely sorted. That's that done then. That's my 30th all planned. So meanwhile, Alfie kind of gets the idea that him and Kat... I've got to be honest, I thought his timing was rubbish. Like, she literally received her divorce from Phil, and then the next day he's proposing to her.
Yeah, but Chris Crenshaw's leaving soon, Robbie. He wants to get back together.
Yeah, no, yeah. Do you know what I mean, though? It's just like, Alfie, terrible timing, but Kat doesn't seem to mind too much and says yes.
Were they even a couple? I was confused. I can't even remember if they actually
They were back together. They were back together, yeah. Because they had a whole thing where they were fighting with fire extinguishers and everything. And I think the drama with Tommy actually kind of pushed them back together again. And we said at the time it actually felt quite natural the way that they kind of got back together. But they haven't really featured Kat and Alfie that much because they've had you know, pubs blowing up and all that sort of mad stuff going on in the background. So they've not had a huge amount of time in the spotlight recently.
So I guess why not though, really? But also, like, if I were Kat, I'd just be wanting a break from getting married, wouldn't you?
You'd think, Let me be Kat Slater for a bit.
Oh, maybe she will be Slater. Maybe she'll go, do you know what? I don't want to be Moon again. Can't be bothered.
No.
Maybe she'll stay. No, she'll not stay Mitchell. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's not Mitchell now. She'd literally just got divorced. Did you have to do it right then? But you know what? We've got a wedding next week, so why not, Rob?
Yeah, exactly. So they are... basically getting married next week. And so what happens is, once they've got all that sort of planned and ready to go and it's all marvellous and exciting, Kat and Jean have made up by the end of the week and that's all fine. Kat comes home and opens the laptop and discovers this porn on the laptop. So that's sort of the leading to next week. So what's going to happen here, I wonder?
Like I say, I think she's going to presume it's Alfie, right?
Yeah.
Because the way that she looked like...
it's on his laptop.
And his bank card as well.
Yeah.
So she's either going to go fully... I don't feel like she would go fully in, though. Otherwise, we've got no suspense of her finding out, actually, it was Tommy. So I feel like she's going to keep it to herself a bit. Maybe she'll confide in Jean, seeing as though they've just made up.
Yeah, maybe.
And then eventually, obviously, she'll find out it's Tommy, and then she's going to be like, what is going on with Tommy? He's going to take the rap. I don't know, though. I don't know if all the Joel stuff will play into it all as well, like... I think he's going to release this video with Ivani.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen as well. I think that they're on some sort of website that you can upload videos to.
Could be, yeah. Maybe they're going to try and make money out of it or something. Yeah.
Dear.
Wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. It's only just the start of this, isn't it? Because Joel was being very derogatory about Ivani at some point this week. So it's not going to take much, I don't think, to start getting Tommy into this frame of mind either.
No, I don't think it will. Or even if Tommy just puts on a front like he believes what Joel's saying, even if deep down Tommy knows that it's wrong, he'll just back
him. I don't think that he'll have that sort of two minds about it. I think Joel will just say it and he'll go along with it. Yeah.
Possibly. Oh, God. It's going to... When will it all come out, though? Like, the wedding? Well, Tommy's going to be best man as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Alfie said.
Do you reckon they're going to make it down the aisle or something going to kick off?
Yeah, because with it being this short of a build-up to the wedding, they're going to make it down the aisle, I think.
Why not?
Just
wait and see how it all plays out, but it looks to be very much the start of a very tricky path for Tommy. Go on.
We've not mentioned the hag, do that they had.
Yeah, with all the boys dressed up as Kat. I thought they looked fabulous. Fabulous.
I want to know what Alfie had underneath that blouse that we're making.
I loved them. I thought they were excellent. If I'm ever in drag, I want them to sort. I don't know, but they were sort of like things that were like it looked like they were in a belt or something. And they were just sort of reacting to his body movement, just sort of jaggling it up and down. I thought they looked very funny. I have to say, I liked them. They were good.
I liked seeing the women in the flowery shirts. I thought that was a good touch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite funny though, really, that they all talk about how skint they are on Albert Square, but
They've always got a spare pot for a big old night out in Albert Square, haven't they? The only thing I always think about these events, they'll often do this. They'll have they had it with Sharon as well, like everybody was sort of wearing big blonde wigs and dressing up as Sharon. Like, do you know anybody in real life that you could actually do that with, that have a that distinctive a fashion that you could dress up as them?
I was just thinking that, but then as I'm thinking it, I'm like, you could easily just get a black curly haired wig and say that you're me, to be fair.
Yeah, and put on the Northern accent and sound like Joan McDonald. Yeah. I could do that, couldn't I? Yeah.
I guess it'd just be like maybe a check shirt and the glasses.
Yeah, mince about a bit. I think you'd be pretty much there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there you go. So
there you go.
But would you go to those lengths? I don't know. Would you never know.
If I'm maybe
Amazon
maybe,
these days, Rob, you can buy out off Amazon.
Rob outfit,
day.
Yeah, get them on Amazon. That'd be all right. And then turn up in my limo to pizza, all dressed as Rob. That would freaking wait us out. Let me tell you, that for nothing.
That birthday's sorted.
Sorted, like you had no idea. So gold star this week, Ree.
Ooh, it's a tough one this week. You go first because I'm still trying to think.
Do you know what? I think I might give mine to Cindy. I really enjoyed her this week.
I was thinking that, and then it was all the Lauren and Peter stuff. Do you know what? I feel like I'm going to give it to Kat just because I feel like she had a tough week, but she didn't give up on Jean, even though she could have enjoyed her own hagdo and her own engagement, but she was still putting Jean first. So
absolutely.
I'm going to say Kat, actually.
Yeah, and she had a good moment with Jean when she sort of threw it back at her as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we are then. So Cindy and Kat for the gold stars this week. Let us know who your gold star is going to. And we'll finish the podcast as usual with some comments from you. So, before we say any comments, we've had another bit of news. Another return has been leaked by you know who. But spoiler siren,
Anina.
Because it would appear you ain't my mother. Yes, I am. Zoe Slater's on her way back to Albert Square, apparently. Ooh.
Apparently.
I mean, these leaks haven't been wrong yet. So that's exciting. Michelle Ryan apparently returning to the role, which is impressive because normally when Michelle Ryan's asked if she's going to return to EastEnders, she's like, no, not at the moment. I'm very busy.
Never.
But she's coming back, apparently. So what do we think about that? When might she return? What mess might she return to?
Well, this is what I'm trying to figure out. Why would she return? What's she coming back to? You could write anything. She could just be that she's split up with a partner or something and wants to spend some time with her mum. I wonder. They wouldn't, though, would they? A part of me were like, you don't think Tommy's going to accidentally come across her video or something online, but I don't see why Zoe would have gone down that route.
I don't know. I do not know.
I'm just trying to think how she could fit into something that they've got going on, because that's his sister, isn't it?
I mean, it's quite mad, really. It feels like every new exec that comes in, they touch on the Kat and Zoe thing, and they'll normally finish it with Kat saying, oh, she doesn't want to talk to me. And then that's kind of it. But each exec sort of kind of deals with that. But if this is a Ben Wadey thing, then it feels like Ben Wadey's actually gone the full hog and has managed to get her back. So
If he's managed to get back Zoe and Max, because I'm so amazed that Max hasn't been back sooner.
I know, and it feels like Clenners would have tried. I mean, we don't know how the crossover. No. We don't know how it works. Like, this could have been in the pipeline for a little while. True. This could be the last of Clenners' returns. I don't know. It's kind of tricky to know when there's a producer sort of new one coming in. It's a bit hard to know when one bit ends and the other bit starts. But whoever made it happen, apparently Zoe's on her way back. So we'll see how that plays out when it happens. We don't know when it's going to be happening or if it's even 100% true, but it probably is. So we'll see.
The only other thing I'm wondering, could it be, because Stacey's going to stay with Lynn at the minute.
Yes. So maybe maybe.
Zoe's there as well. And then she's hearing, oh, but, you know, I mean, surely Lily's going to be going back. She's with Ryan.
Mm.
Is Zoe going to say, while Stacey needs her time out, she'll go she'll go and help out in the Slater house, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So does Zoe come in as the new Stacey while Lacey Turner's away? Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm. We shall see. Comments, Ree.
I've got a comment here from Renaissance Costume who says, Joel is a problem, but it was nice to get a Denise and Ravi scene after 15 long weeks of nothing. Still no Jack, though. Very strange aftermath from the vote.
Has it really been 15 weeks? That's ridiculous. I mean, if nothing proves our point more. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're getting these crumbs of Ravi and Priya. And I love it. And I think it's brilliant. And I love Ravi and Priya together. But it's so funny that Denise has barely had any screen time whatsoever since this choice was made.
I know. And do you know, like, when we've seen them, like, on last night's, on Thursday's episode, it was like they were still pining after each other. So they've made us make the choice and they're still going to put them together anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I get what you mean. I agree. It did seem like there was a sort of frisson between them still, doesn't it?
Yeah, it didn't feel like they were very much Priya like, oh, well, we've accepted the decision's been made and we're going to be amicable. It was very much like, oi, oi.
This ain't over. We'll have to wait and see. Tracy Riccio says, does no one remember why Lauren started on the pills in the first place? Why is no one going back to the crush and Cindy delaying the escape because of Junior, which caused Lauren's injuries?
Yeah. So not only that, so then she was the reason, and then she carried on feeding her the pills.
Basically, it's all Cindy's fault.
I agree, and that no one's saying, well, you would think maybe Kathy might have piped up and reminded everybody of that as well. There's time, I guess.
There's time. Yeah, I mean, I think Cindy has pretty much got away with this scot-free at the moment, but we all know that when any of that lot have an axe to grind, the words will be thrown around at some point, I'm sure, but it's just funny that Lauren seems to be the one that's getting it all in the neck at the minute, and nobody's really turning around to Cindy and going, you did cause all this, you know. This is your fault.
Not that we know it is the drug taking that did cause the blindness.
Not yet. If
you're throwing those accusations out, then start at the start.
Absolutely. Right, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can indeed. Thank you so much, everybody, for all your kind comments on some of the pictures that we posted. We felt sexy too, let me tell you. We really did. I saw one comment that said, Ree looked stunning. Rob, you look quite decent too. Which thanks. Very nice of you. Thank you.
Really
very
like
much.
That comment. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought you might. with all the eyebrow gel that you had on, it's no wonder you look so
Rob's
stunning,
only just
really,
discovered breast pumps and eyebrow gel on
what
today's
the hell is
episode.
Eyebrow gel? Why do you need what is eyebrow gel? I have much
can
to
you
learn.
Right, can everybody back me up who uses eyebrow gel?
Please.
Right, in the comments, that eyebrow gel is real. It'll also show us how many of you actually listen right until the very end.
Won't it just? All right, we'll be back same time next week. We'll also be doing our Clenners retrospective at some point, so expect to see that over the next week or so. And until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.